Rialto Cinemas in Sebastopol will be screening a new documentary called Nuclear Now. It screens May 1st with a 1 o'clock showing and a 7 o'clock showing. It's based on a book by Professor Joshua Goldstein, and it is directed by legendary filmmaker Oliver Stone. It is our pleasure here on The Drive to welcome both Professor Joshua Goldstein and three-time Academy Award-winning filmmaker Oliver Stone to our program. Gentlemen, welcome to The Drive.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Harry.
Professor Goldstein, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. It's my pleasure. Let's start with the book that the film is based on. It is called A Bright Future, and it's on the international response to climate change, specifically Sweden's success in decarbonization using nuclear power. So let's first talk about the book, and then let's talk about how the book then gets transferred to film.
Yes, so the book talks about Sweden's experience, and the film talks more about France, but in both cases, they put nuclear power on the grid and took off fossil fuels really fast, 15 to 20 years, just took off the fossil fuels and replaced with nuclear power, which does not emit carbon. So this decarbonized their grid, and to this day, they have very clean grids, much more so than their neighbors or the United States.
Well, let's restate that the film makes the case that we cannot hope to deal with the carbon emissions problem and global warming unless we take a serious look at nuclear power, correct?
Yes, and if you look at the numbers on the carbon emissions, climate change, the world is just way off track. We are not decarbonizing fast enough. We're really not decarbonizing at all. And this is a proven solution, nuclear energy. But the other things that we're trying, they're all fine. The renewables, the deep geothermal fusion power, a lot of good ideas, battery, miracle batteries, but they're not proven. And so climate change is really serious. It needs to be dealt with in a massive way globally. And most of it is not a U.S. or European problem. Most of it is in Asia and other poor countries that are growing really fast. And they want electricity, and a lot of it. So the electricity demand is shooting up. We're building a lot of wind and solar and such, but it's only just keeping up with some of that growth, and we're still adding coal and fossil fuels to the world grid. So we have to switch track and get onto a different path, and that's what the film is about.
Oliver Stone, how did you get connected to this film project?
How did I get connected? I read the book, which was beautifully reviewed in the New York Times by Richard Rhodes. It's a simple book, absorbed it. It's very clear and practical, because it's very confusing out there when you hear all these different arguments.
Oh, yeah.
Among them is nuclear power. It works, but it's dangerous, which is a myth. This book goes to some lengths to explain what radiation really is and how dangerous it can be and at what levels. But we have not even, and then on top of it, it explains waste, right? Which is another mythology about how dangerous nuclear is. All we hear about, all I heard about is, and I was confused, was this nuclear is not feasible. Well, that's just not true. It is feasible. It was originally feasible. We were on track in the 1970s in America to go all the way to nuclearize the entire society, our country. We wouldn't have been in this mess if we'd followed that path that Eisenhower and John Kennedy started on. But, okay. One accident at Chernobyl, which was a serious accident, and we investigated in the film and tell you exactly what happened and why. And another one at Fukushima in Japan, where no one died. It was a tsunami that killed 10,000 people.
Right.
So there's all these misunderstandings that we go into in the film to explain why nuclear power is essential and why we must go there now and quickly.
One of the things you address in the film, and it's at the heart of what I want to get to in our conversation today, is the role of fear in this decision.
Absolutely.
I grew up in southern New Jersey when the Three Mile Island incident happened. I live near the Salem Nuclear Power Plant in southern New Jersey. So I have vivid memories of what was being said and what was being told. And then, as you say, the China Syndrome film comes out right at the same time. So there's a lot of fear about the use of nuclear power. What do we source that fear to?
Partly contamination phobias, partly the horror films in the 1950s, if you remember correctly, and and the confusion with nuclear war, nuclear power and nuclear war. Nuclear war, as we explained, is much more powerful enrichment of uranium, whereas in the case of nuclear energy, no, it is much lower levels. And there has been none of those accidents. What happened at Three Mile Island was an accident, but it worked. The containment structure held. No one died. And the movie was very effective. It was a great movie. Hollywood's been no friend to nuclear, that's for sure. And so was Silkwood either. But and it scared us all. And, of course, there was the fear of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But this is all mythology. And we found something that works. It is a great invention, a discovery of mankind. Marie Curie, Albert Einstein, Enrico Fermi. We turned our backs on that in the 1970s, and we listened to all the fearmongers. That's at the heart of this film. We have to get back on track, and we go into the future. We talk about all the new forms of construction, but still, essentially, the old, what was wrong with the old way of doing it? It worked.
You mentioned President Eisenhower earlier, and of course, his Atoms for Peace program. But what happened between a Republican president of the United States encouraging development of nuclear power, followed by John Kennedy, a Democratic president of the United States, encouraging the safe and productive use of nuclear power, yes, to where we've turned totally against it?
Well, that's when that's part of the story. I mean, that's the history of the 1970s and 80s and the effectiveness of the propaganda, somewhat put out by the oil companies, sometimes the environmental groups. You know, they didn't really think it through, and they were miseducated. And that is a fundamental problem, because we had the solution. And Josh's book explains it clearly, so does the movie. It has to be, we have to pay attention to these. Go back to the evidence.
Josh, part of the film talks about how the environmental movement was first on board with nuclear power, but then seemed to rapidly change tracks. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, the Sierra Club, of which I'm a lifetime member, had a campaign called Atoms, Not Dams. In other words, to save valleys from being flooded, to save ecosystems, and all the ways that we make electricity are damaging to the environment, but nuclear a lot less so, because it's so concentrated that a small little plant like Diablo Canyon can produce 9% of California's electricity, a huge amount of electricity from a small site. So it's environmentally friendly that way. But in the late 1960s, I'm old enough to remember that there was a big concern about overpopulation. There are too many people and too much consumption. And the environmentalists became concerned that nuclear power would encourage more consumption. If we have all this cheap, abundant electricity, people will want to plug stuff into it. And they were against growth and against population. It all turned out to be wrong. You know, they thought everyone was going to starve because too many people. But instead, technology kept ahead of population, and people have become richer, not poorer, over those years. But we're still stuck with this idea that we should grow, we should degrowth and have fewer people, less stuff, and all of that. Yeah. Completely impractical. The fast-growing parts of the world are going to grow. They're going to use a lot of energy. And if it's not nuclear, it will be fossil fuel.
I screened the film last night. It has a lot of data to process, but it presents it in a very, for lack of a description, a very easy way to understand it. Doesn't mean you're welcome. It's not as bombastic, quite frankly, as I would have expected from an Oliver Stone film. I mean that as a compliment. It presents the case. It presents the facts. You're not beating us over the head, except to say, look, 2050 is kind of a deadline date that we have to look at, and we're kind of running out of time. So you're basically saying, please consider this, take this information, and please consider it. Because countries from around the world are doing this. They are moving in this direction, right?
Yes, some are.
And
absolutely. And we're not saying you have to agree with us on the issue or agree with any particular plan of how to move forward, but we have to be having the conversation. We have to get nuclear power back onto the agenda, into the conversation. You can't talk about climate change and then have a taboo where you pretend that nuclear power, which, by the way, is the leading source of carbon-free emission in the United States, second leading in the world after hydroelectric, you can't just pretend it doesn't exist. We have to be talking about it, and we hope that's what the film does, is to get that conversation going.
Why isn't it labeled a green energy source?
Well, that goes back to the environmental movement, and you know, this fear that you mentioned is specifically a fear of low-level radiation. Any tiny amount of radiation is going to harm you. And this is completely not true. We live in a soup of radiation all the time. It's background radiation. Nuclear power adds very little to that, even when anything goes wrong. But this was promulgated after World War II, partly by people who were concerned about the atom bomb, right, and that they just had to put a taboo on anything about radioactivity, and that would help to prevent nuclear war. And then partly by oil companies who saw a threat to their way of life and business in this new energy source. But it's it was all based on the theory that DNA cannot repair itself, and so a little bit of radiation will cause damage that will accumulate during your lifetime. We now know for a fact that's not true. There was a Nobel Prize a few years ago for DNA repair mechanisms. We can handle low-level radiation. We do it all the time.
All right.
But we still have, we regulate it as though it was the most dangerous thing.
The film we're talking about is Nuclear Now. It's going to screen Monday, May 1st at 1 o'clock and 7 p.m. at the Rialto Cinemas in Sebastopol. Our great thanks to Professor Joshua Goldstein and legendary filmmaker Oliver Stone for joining us on The Drive and discussing the film. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Harry.
Thanks for having me.